Ro.
Hey, baby, this is Ro. Welcome to the back of the classroom. Thank you for tuning in. Turn the volume up because you don't want to miss this. Today, we're talking about Law 42 from 48 Laws of Power. The title is called Strike the Shepherd and the Sheep Will Scatter. How does that work? So, most times, if you really look at a situation, you'll realize that most trouble can often be traced to a single strong individual. That person is the stirrer, also known as an arrogant underling, the poisoner goodwill. You want to keep them at a distance as much as possible. You don't want them in your circle. You don't want them around you. You need to keep them away at the utmost diligence. Because what happens is if you allow people like that room to operate, other people start to follow the influence. Like if you was ever in a classroom and somebody wanted to crack jokes, the more he spoke, he or she spoke, the more they looked and listened, the more they was allowed to gather other people's attention and start influencing people and giving them misinformation or just telling them lies, and people start to believe it because they don't know no better, right? Even at work, if you go to work and you realize, oh, you got that one problematic person, and that person turns around and gets people to start believing things, especially if they have a good imagination and they start filling in the blanks of things that you can't necessarily prove or disprove. They're like, oh, you know, well, that kind of makes sense. But of course, look at the time we're in. Social media and all these other type of things going on. Most people are considered guilty before proven innocent. And at one point, it was innocent to proven guilty. But enough of a person can stir up the waters and get people to believe the things that they're saying, you end up in a situation where you got a hard time getting people to understand what really happened and to work with you and not against you, right? So the book just, it advises you, you know, don't wait for troubles they cause to multiply. Don't try to negotiate with them. They already put themselves in a position to be against you, right? That's your opposition. Those are your opponents. They're not there for your best interest. They're not there for peace. They want things the way they want it to be. They can come off as a tyrant. They just do things in a manner in which it's just unprofessional. It's unbecoming. It doesn't benefit the whole. It's a major distraction, and just nothing comes good from it. So with the book and the chapter talks about is neutralizing their influences by isolating or banishing them. Gotta get rid of them at all costs. You cannot keep them around, because what happens is if everybody's supposed to be doing something specific on task and they're distracted and influenced by somebody who's going against the grain, you're going to have problems. And there's no coming back from that, because you're going to have a hard time getting people to get back to where they're going to go or where they're supposed to be at, because they veered too far off track. They already started doing things different or even lacking in their responsibility. They don't have to do anything different. They just don't have to produce or be as productive as they once were, and they already you already derailed. If you're in a classroom setting and you can't get the class to get in order, or you could be the student and the teacher got to stop and tell the other kid, hey, stop, listen, do what I say, you're not going to get the lesson you need to get. So a lot of times you're going to fail in the class because the teacher had to stop and talk to this one about their conduct, them speaking out loud. And the more that teacher got to stop, the less information you get. So when it's time to take a test, because they're not going to push the test back because you didn't get all the coursework, they're going to give you the test on that Friday, and they're going to tell you, oh, well, y'all should have studied. But when you study, you got questions. There's new information you don't have, especially if you didn't figure it out already. You need that teacher to give you some insight in. When that school bell rings and you got to move to the next class, there's nothing you can do about it. You got to pack it up, go to the next class, and hope he discuss it, or you can remember it. And then your parents probably been out of school for like 20 years, so they couldn't even help you with it because they didn't figure it out. And now you're stuck. And that's the problem with having people who do things in a manner which is unproductive of the whole. You need everybody on point. This is why even in the military, you can't move a certain way. If you get orders, you got to follow those orders to the T. And that's another reason why some information is compartmentalized, because you're too distracted by the things you don't need to be focused on. You're focused on the wrong things. You want to start talking about things that's outside of your mission parameters. You can't do that. You need to be focused on the task at hand, and you need to complete that task 100 out of 100. Can't leave no room for error. And if you're busy distracted by somebody else or something else, it's going to derail a mission and you don't succeed. So it doesn't matter if you're in school, doesn't matter if you're at work, doesn't matter if you're in the armed forces. If you have a mission and there's something you need to follow out, and you're in a position where someone else is distracting or being, just distracting other people and just getting people unfocused, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to not be as successful as you need to be, because you have that person who's just destructive. They're keeping things from going in the manner in which they need to. They're deterrent. And that negative influence has to be removed at all costs. I can't think of a situation where that's even beneficial. I mean, outside of your group, outside of your classroom setting, outside of your workspace, if that was like an outside entertainer and that was just their job, all right, cool. That has nothing to do with what we got going on inside of in-house. But unfortunately, we don't have those resources. A lot of times that's happening inside of our circle. And unless we get rid of them, our circle's going to fall apart. It's like an empire that crumbles from within. It's always the case. An empire never fell from outside forces. And that just proof goes against what the book says as well. You can find that in any history book. An outside influence has never destroyed an empire. It's always from within. So the quicker you can remove that negative influence, it's like a cancer, unfortunately. It's like, it's not productive. Check out this book. It'll open your eyes. It'll help you figure things out. And then you can have conversations about it. You can look into it and see how those things benefit you, don't benefit you. You might find out you might be that person and you might just feel the need to change because you don't want to be isolated. You don't want to be removed. You might need to see things differently and realize, oh, wait, that's me. Maybe I need to change. I can't keep being like that if I want to be part of the growth. I want to advance in life. I don't want to be in the same position all my life. I need to move forward and not be left out. It's your world, it's your choices, but it's what you focused on. If you focused on being a class clown, or you want to be the center of attention because you have this complex with wanting all this attention, you keep looking for attention in any way possible, you're going to get the attention you might not have considered, and it might not be beneficial to your health. So maybe consider that before wanting to go out there and start acting out and being a certain way just because you want attention. You need to have discipline. You need to be able to conduct yourself in a manner that's going with the group, especially if you want to be part of that group. You can't stand out and still want to fit in. Sometimes you have to assimilate and be part of the group. And then when you're outside of the mission parameters, or when it's just time to relax, then you can give them that, look at me, if it's not too detrimental to the overall morale of the group. But when you start bringing other people down because you don't have discipline and you're incapable of maintaining that energy of calm, cool, collected, paying attention, following the rules and staying within parameters of whatever work group you're in, you're detrimental to the whole group. And even if certain people don't hold you accountable, you're going to move forward in life thinking it was okay because you wasn't held accountable. And it's not until it's the last possible moment you realize, or you have a moment where you be like, wait, I shouldn't have did that. But then who's going to check you? So it's not just the person who's doing it, but it's also the responsibility of the group. You got to check that person. You got to say, hey, listen, you're doing it wrong. And for the people who don't know, I can't blame you. But the people who do know, that's your responsibility because you know better now. You are aware. You do know what's going on, and you do know how that's unproductive and you can't maintain a positive work group and workspace if you keep allowing that to continue. You got to shut that down at all costs, or you're doomed for failure. Check out the book, 48 Laws of Power. This is episode 73. If you made it this far, I thank you. I appreciate you. Stay tuned in. I got another one coming. You guys are not going to want to miss this. Love you. Peace. All right, that's done.